Thank you for downloading this episode of the Dad Podcast. You want to help support the show? Tell your friends. Get the word out. Facebook, Twitter, smoke signals. Maybe even take out a Craigslist personal. Whatever you gotta do. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the he ain't here again.
Oh, I'm so hot.
Yes, he is. He is hot. Last I heard, Paco is hot and in the middle of Hawaii. He may be listening live as we speak right now. He's doing some family stuff, and good on him for that. What's going on? I have had crazy times. I've got one more week left working on the morning show. Today, just so you know, if I seem a little frantic or scattered, I came home, going to do this episode, mostly because a very nice mom who listens a lot, Jessica, asked that I do this before she goes on a trip. So, Jessica, enjoy your trip. I hope this show doesn't suck. And I got to do a couple episodes with Booker for Justin is Married, Booker is Single. So if you're listening live right now at mixlr.com/dadpodcast, you may be in store for a triple header if you are so inclined. How's the job going? Good. Everything is going good. I made a horrible mistake today, if anybody is listening. We do handle on the news in the 6 o'clock and 9 o'clock hour. And what that is they pull about 15 news stories and the gang kind of cycles through them. Handle sets them up and everybody reacts. And I play music. So they'll read the headline. Like, for instance, this headline was Los Angeles police officer shoots guy over neighborly dispute is what I remember the headline to be. And there was another story later on that was about California vaccinations. And for that story, I pulled the LMFAO song, Shots, 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 Shots. And I had the other one. And then for the lead story, which was the LAPD officer gunning down a guy because there was a neighborly dispute, I had pulled Big Data's Dangerous. I bet you didn't know that I was dangerous. So today, on a 50,000-watt AM station, the host read, LAPD officer shoots guy over neighborly dispute. And I hit the button to press play. And what played was shots, 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 shots. So in the control room that nobody could hear, I go, oh, no, like not in a bit like I just did there, but for realsies. I was like, oh, man, I felt horrible because I thought that. And the assistant program director is in the room, like he's doing the segment for the show. So it was bad. And so now the onus is on me to try. Here, I could say whatever the hell I want and there's no real consequence. Because A, no FCC thing, and B, it's just me. It's my show. If people stop listening, then that's on me. But when I'm responsible for another person's thing, I don't know. It bothers me. So I waited until the end, and I said, hey, I just want to apologize. That's not the song I meant to play. And, of course, Bill Handel, he said, Bill Handel said, I don't think anybody noticed. I didn't even notice because he doesn't even pay attention to the songs I play. Gary, the news guy who also does Wake Up Call, he said, I noticed and I laughed because he thought it was funny. He's sick like that. That's why I like him. And Aaron, the sports girl, also noticed and she was in the control room with me and she goes, that was horrible, which made me feel awesome. And so that was the big screw up I had today. That was no bueno. And then, so then we leave, we go to commercial and Bill comes on. We have like a talk back where he talks to me and he says, hey, don't ever apologize for anything. He goes, I would much rather you play just horrible, offensive song after offensive song after offensive song, because that's the show. And I would much rather it be that. I go, okay. And then the assistant program director came and asked me what song I played so he was clear in case they get phone calls or emails. And I told him, and he said, oh, you did a good thing for apologizing. Once I'd kind of explained, because he was in the moment looking at the story, ready, building his opinion, the song was kind of a filler. And so that's what happened. And then, yeah. So that was my day today. Yes, had fun times with the kids. That's a nice thing. If anybody works nights, I don't know if it's different when you work the night shift, but what I like about working and getting off at about 12:30-ish is that right now I've got my mom is visiting from out of town. She'll be here. She's leaving tomorrow morning. And the so I'm here with her and the kids. So Jack stayed home. And so it's been nice because I come home, I hang out for a little bit, like an hour, and then I go pick up the kids and I can hang out with them and goof around. Yesterday we went in the pool and things were going awesome. We don't have like a big pool. So, you know, like I'm sitting here talking about back house and shit. Like I'm lifestyles of the rich and famous. We have like a little, it's basically like a supersized kiddie pool. Is what we have. It's like $80 at Target. They're pretty good deal, and it's been crazy hot, so that helps. The water's crazy hot, so we've been out there swimming, and we're out there, and the kid. God bless my wife, but she. I don't. Are all moms wired this way, or is it just like one parent is and the other parent isn't? Why? For obvious reasons, I am the asshole, right? I don't know how it shakes down that way. As much as I joke about it on the show, I don't mean to be the asshole. Like, it's not intentional. It's purely unintentional. But, and why is it that it makes me an asshole? Because if we buy Halloween decorations, like she bought little skeletons as decorations that the kids picked out, why does it make me the no fun, you know, stick in the mud because I'm saying, let's have Halloween decorations be Halloween decorations? Because then what happens is the Halloween decorations become yet another plastic toy that just displaces other toys that have cost us 3 times to 10 times as much that are just sitting in a room because mostly the kids are just playing fucking Disney Infinity or what is Skylanders or some kind of garbage like that. That now what our generation is dealing with is kids that are offended at the idea that you're being sent to your room to play with toys. That's where we've gotten to. That it is now a punishment to play with toys anymore. I think we actually read this on a story that, like, you know, losing screen time was a punishment. But it cracks me up because they're playing with these skeletons and Jack just like tears it apart, like literally pulls off its limbs and is like, oh, I can't swim, or, you know, before he even got in the pool. And then he's like, well, Mom, now we have to get another one. And I'm like, no, we're not getting another one because you tore that one up. Like, what are you doing? And the reason I bring this all up is because it was hot outside. We want to do something to get out of the house. So we're like, well, let's go get in the pool. And because I'm the father in my family, and I don't know what it is, I believe, as much as I love her and as great as I think she is, my wife is a witch. Let me explain. She will not get in water.
Asshole.
I know, but you won't, honey. You won't get in the water. It's 100 fucking degrees with crazy humidity, and we have a little pool. It's not even like a pool that you got to tread water in. It's like a cool tub. It's the opposite of a hot tub. It's a cool tub. You get to get in it, and when it's 100 degrees out here, and that thing sits in the sun all day, it's lukewarm water. It's still cool enough to be refreshing, but you don't have to worry about that part. I don't know if ladies have to worry about this, but we have, you know, guys, you getting into water up to about lower thigh is awesome until it hits that, just the base of your scrotum, and then it's like, hah! You know, everything puckers. But I go, come on, honey, get in the water. No, I can't get in the water. Get in the fucking water.
Asshole.
No, you're a bitch. Get in the water. I can't believe it.
She's so pretty. I want to put my dick in it.
I wish. Well, speaking of which, if there is anything that could cock block me more than my children, it is employment. Jesus Christ. When I go to bed at the same time the kids go to bed, I'm sure my wife loves it because she gets to drive the remote. And by drive the remote, I mean screw it up. And I just imagine her like just, constantly skipping past commercials or just giving up and watching commercials like some kind of person who lived in 89. And I go to bed, and now, although I did have, jumping around a lot, I'm sorry, buckle up. I did have one night where I woke up at about 4 in the morning. It was on the weekend. And I said, this is happening. This is going down. And she said no. And I didn't take no for an answer. That's horrible to say out loud. What am I doing? It is horrible to say. But I didn't, like, obviously force her or anything. But, I listened. She eventually succumbed to my mojo. Let's put it that way. She was powerless against me. Nothing she could do is what I'm trying to explain to you. What was I saying? Oh, the pool. So, jumping around a lot. Apologize. So, we go to, we're in the pool. Kids are playing. There's a pink skeleton in there. And now there's a fight. There's a fight over who gets to play with the skeleton. Now, here's the thing. This is, if you are the, usually I think it's dads that are the ones who are the fun ones, and the moms have to be the sticks in the mud. And so this is just yet another example that I'm rocking a full-blown mangina in my life, that I have to be the stick in the mud, you know, person in the relationship. But for if you're the dad who's like, oh, I know who needs rules, listen, okay? Because when moments like this come up, if you just did it her way, or whoever I am talking to in your relationship, things would be a lot better. Because the kids start fighting over the skeleton. Well, guess what? If there wasn't a fucking skeleton that shouldn't be out until Halloween anyway, then there would be nothing to fight over. Okay? Nothing. That's funny. Somebody in the chat room just said that because I took my wife by force in the dead of night, that Cosby inspired me in more ways than just comedy. That's funny, Mike and DeBuff. But you know what I mean? You're fighting over the skeleton now. Now, if that thing, it's like I want to go back in time and, you know, where Marty's hand is disappearing. I want to make the fucking pink skeleton disappear so that I don't have to listen to the, I don't want this guy. Well, let me just show you something. Oh, my God. These kids would, let me just show you something. Who, no. And what's, so now they're fighting. And then I have to, then you have to do the parent thing where you just say, give it to him. And so then he gives it to him. But then now he's swinging. He swings it or something. And all I hear, because I was kind of relaxing in the pool, I think I was leaning on the edge, still trying to get my wife into the pool, but she can't because she's a witch.
Asshole.
And I just hear this, like, this corp, like just that. Just like a fucking plastic slapping bone. You know what I mean? And I'd been up. And by that, I mean, man, I am horrible today. I've been up since forever. So I was still, the tiredness was happening. So I have, now that I work mornings like this, I have dog years. You know what I mean? Like I have, so I time moves differently for me, much like your dog or cat at home. For every 1 hour after the hour of 1 o'clock, it's as if I'm 5 hours ahead. I'm in a different time zone. That's a better analogy. And I am constantly on East Coast time, I think, is what I'm going to decide. So anyway, so I'm like kind of fed up. They're doing that thing where you could feel like a disturbance in the forest too, where there's whining about the skeleton to begin with. And somebody in the, Jessica just said in the chat room that daddy gets a job and now he knows how the rest of us live. Here's the thing. Maybe. And maybe that becomes the new dynamic of this show, is that I am employed and now you get to laugh at. It used to be that you laughed at how horrible a parent I was and how dumb I am about relationships and stuff. But now it's that I don't know how to live like a regular person. Trust me, that's not my intent. But and it's great. I'm very happy. But blah, blah, blah. Back to my story. So the slap happens, and I'm tired because I'm on East Coast time, I've decided, and that's it. So I do the thing. I get up, and the older boy, Jacob, he knows it's coming. And it's great because they do that thing where they can't move, and he's already crying because he feels bad. So it's just, and he just locks up. And so I don't hurt him, but I pick him up. Gently, like there was no aggression when I was doing. I was just like, I'm done. So I pick him up. I set him out of the pool. I pick up his brother. And then his brother starts whining about. I calm him down. He starts signing up, and then boom, I put him out of the pool, and then I put the cover on. And my wife, awesome. She's outstanding. She's like, come here. Gets the other one. He's like, I want to get back in the pool. I want to get back in the pool. She goes, well, you didn't listen. If you would have listened to your dad instead of swinging the thing around, you wouldn't hit your brother, and you'd still be in the pool. And it's like, damn. Fucking Skippy. Why is that, right? I can't, you all have to be going through this too, where it's like, you just look at these people that you gave life to and you sustain life for, and their sole purpose in your life is to challenge you. You know what I mean? Like, that is their only objective. Like, sometimes, and I'm not proud of it, but sometimes I will look at my children and I will see them eating the food that is provided by my wife and I. Especially, you know what really gets me? Cookies and shit. You know what I mean? When they're fucking eating a gigantic bowl of ice cream with, like, chocolate syrup and, you know what I mean? Just really, something really living it up. Or those moments where you cook them a nice barbecued New York strip steak and they're like, I don't like it. You know what I mean? Or this has icky parts, like, because it's got a little bit of fat on it. Oh, my God. And you just look at them and go, well, how are you alive? How does this make sense? To where you can't, you just don't listen. Just do, it's not hard. You do exactly what I tell you to do, and everything will be great. Because guess what? I don't want you to be an asshole. I don't want you to fail. I want you to be successful in all that you do. So don't be an ass. Just do what I tell you to do, and everything will be fine. So he didn't get to go in the pool, and then we covered it up. He's like, he sees me putting chemicals in it. And he goes, no, don't put the chemicals in. Which I always love about, you know, the things that they cry and that they scream. And so, that just makes me laugh. But so that was fun. And then I did a thing, and I'll share a little bit more of it in the moment of the week. But then we went inside for something that I thought was like, well, there goes the day. And then, of course, my mom is here, so she gets to witness all this crap about me being a parent. And she just wants to have fun because she's a grandma, and I get it and stuff. But before we get into all that feel-good stuff, me playing with the boys and stuff inside, here's another feel-good story. I love stuff like this. I really, really dig it. 10-year-old got bitten by a shark. Now, hear me out. Then went back into the water to save her 6-year-old friend, not even a family member. 10-year-old girl named Kaylee Zarmack was at the beach with her family near Jacksonville, Florida last Wednesday. Finally, good news coming out of Florida. And she was standing in about 4 feet of water when she got attacked by a shark. Luckily, it was only about 3 feet long, but it still managed to open up a 5-inch gash on her leg. Oh, poor thing. So there was a lot of blood, pretty terrifying, especially for a 10-year-old. After she got out of the water, she realized that a 6-year-old girl she was playing with was still in danger, so she went back in, grabbed the little girl, and made sure she didn't get bitten. It took 90 stitches to close the cut on Kaylee's leg, but her doctors say she should make a full recovery. Jesus. The presence of mind that this little girl has to go back in there. I mean, I think we're all thinking the same thing, too. It's like, wow, where the hell were the parents? Like, I know that stuff happens, and I'm not trying to point a finger, because clearly these are parents who are doing the right thing, that they are raising a little girl to have the presence of mind to go back and save some. Like, I mean, I don't know how much danger the other girl was in, but imagine having a fucking hole in your leg as an adult. I mean, and you go back in to save another person. But Maybe I'm having a horrible spin on this really feel-good story. Maybe it's just because I'm reacting to what I've been going through with my kids recently. But it's like, so see, here's the thing. Like what I talked about with Julie Lithcott-Hames, how to raise an adult. You know, like the vibe of that conversation is what I'm getting at. Kids get it. We all know they get it. And I don't. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they don't all get it. But if one kid could get it, I kind of feel like everybody should be able to get it. Sorry, I hit that button too many times. But you know what I mean? Like, if they get it, then if a girl can go and save another kid, then they could share a fucking skeleton in a pool. Is what I'm saying. Asshole. All right, ladies, buckle up. I'm going to sling some mud your way. Women spend 2 full years of their lives putting on makeup. Here's a great reason to throw out your makeup and go al natural all the time. a new study found the average woman spends almost 2 years putting on makeup. That's about 2 entire weeks every year. And over the course of her life, you'll spend approximately, buckle up, $20,000 on lipstick, foundation, eyeshadow, and all the rest. Now, maybe that's, I'm always curious about this because I do feel like, I don't know. I haven't seen. Natalie doesn't wear a lot of makeup, and she doesn't spend a ton of time on it. But I don't know. I know that we're stupid guys when we talk on the show all the time, and that. But I kind of get the vibe and the feeling that we don't really need you to wear. Like, here's the thing: we don't really need you to wear makeup. It's not that big a deal. The things that make us into you, which I know is not probably what you would like, they are eye color and there's teeth and skin and all that stuff. But it's not the fact that, like, wait, are her eyelashes kind of short and not really full of volume? Like, that's not, you should know, ladies, that that's not how we think. And I know that everybody who says that you do it for each other, but I don't even buy into that. I think there's. I think you do it because it's an unfortunate part of being a woman that you always have to wrestle with this insecurity of how you look. Because I don't know if anybody saw this, but I thought it was really cool on cool and interesting, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. When that whole Caitlyn Jenner thing came out, Jon Stewart and his brilliance on The Daily Show basically played a bunch, like a montage of clips of everybody talking about how hot she is. And he kind of summed it up by saying, welcome to being a woman in America where you are judged entirely on your looks and whether or not you're doable. Which I think is very true, and I think it's unfair, and I not to get up on a feminist soapbox, because I'm not a feminist either, but that I just think it's silly. I really think, and that if ever, here's what it is, women, you need to unionize. You need to all get together and just decide nobody's going to do it, because the ones that are doing it are cheating a little bit, and then everybody has to cheat, and before you know it, everybody's got deflated balls. You're picking up what I'm putting down. This is for people with older kids. Clearly, my kids are definitely in this realm or whatever, but evidently your kids don't care anymore if you friend them on Facebook. Back in the old days of 2011, which is the time we live in, that the old days is 4 years ago, kids would rather chop off a limb than be friends with their parents on Facebook, but times have changed. A new survey found 61% of teenagers say they really don't care if their parents friend them on Facebook or follow them on any other social media, and the main reason might be that they're just not worried about what you or anyone else sees them post. 79% say they rarely regret anything they post on social media, and there's pretty much nothing they're embarrassed to share. See, that's an interesting thing, is that to me, what I'm hearing is that they're dumb, and that they, you know, that's another way you could catch them in lies if you can be kind of subtle about it and play dumb yourself. Oh, my printer's dying on this one. But I thought this was cool, for people with older kids. The six dumbest classes colleges are offering right now. And this kind of stuff right here is the reason why I will not be paying for my kids' college education, and they will be better for it. I'm not sure college kids need lessons on how to waste time on the internet. They've been doing it since the first day they touched a computer. But one Ivy League school wants to help them dig even deeper. The University of Pennsylvania's English department is offering a course this year called Wasting Time on the Internet. The description says the class will, quote, explore the long, you're an idiot, Justin, you suck at this. Here are five more ridiculous classes colleges are actually offering this year. How to win a beauty pageant, oh my God, race, gender, culture, and U.S. national identity. It's offered by Oberlin College's Contemporary American Studies Department. Two is tree climbing at Cornell University's physical education department. Here's the thing. I get the class, but who's the one who's teaching it? Like, who the fuck is teaching tree climbing? It's got to be some guy. I hope it has to be some guy with a flat top and those old, like, football coach, you know, short shorts and tube socks. I need it to be that person, because if it's a fucking 28-year-old hippie with a master's degree in liberal arts, I'm going to shoot somebody. Tattoos, piercing, and body adornment. It's offered by Pitzer College's Asian American Studies Department. What? Are the Asians big time into the piercings and the body adornments? I don't know. This is great. This is a class that I think everybody, I would like to see this in high school. Kanye versus everybody. From Georgia State University's English department. And number five on being bored at Brown University's English department. So there's a whole class about boredom. Who wants to teach that, though? Again, like, are these gag gifts that you give at the college Christmas party that you're like, Jimmy, you got to teach boredom 101. I got to teach boredom 102. It's advanced boredom. Which is cheaper, flying home for Thanksgiving or Christmas? Right now, if you're thinking, I swear I'm not flying home for the holidays this year, they can come to me if they want to be together so badly. And of course, you'll cave in a month when your mom gives you a guilt trip. So if you were only going to fly home for either Thanksgiving or Christmas this year, which would be cheaper? The travel site HipMonk analyzed the flight prices from last year to 50 major cities to see which holiday is a cheaper time to fly. Here's what they found. If you're going to the West Coast or the Northeast, Thanksgiving is usually cheaper. If you're going to the South, Christmas is usually cheaper. In the Midwest and on the East Coast, it's even, though it's different for every city. Airfare on Thanksgiving is an average of about $200 cheaper. So there you go. How are we doing? We're doing good. I don't care about this anymore. Here's the thing where it happens that I start this, and then I start to lose interest in it, and I'm sorry. I'm trying to I'm an idiot and I suck. Maybe this episode won't make it. Uh-oh, we're going down a pipe, everybody. Buckle up. Could not happen. Maybe not make it through. If you want to see a train wreck, see what happens when I try to do two episodes of Chris after this. Women are more likely to get sick if all of their coworkers are men. Being the token woman at a company that mostly employs guys can be tough, and according to a new study by University of Indiana, it can actually affect your health. Researchers examined 440 women who worked at companies where more than 85% of the employees were men, and it turned out they had much higher levels of cortisol than women who worked at companies with an equal number of male and female employees. Cortisol is a hormone your body produces that helps you deal with stress, and having too much of it has been known to affect your immune system. In other words, women who mostly work with men have to deal with things like sexual harassment and discrimination more often. Plus, they don't have other women around to offer support, and all that added stress makes them more likely to get sick. And no, it's because men are dirtier. That's what I think. I think men are less worried about hygiene and less likely to wash hands, and I think that that leads to the spreading of illnesses. That's what I've decided. This is great. Remember that story that I found in Texas about the lemonade stand that got shut down? Well, they're at it again. Cops shut down a lemonade stand, but this one, they went too far. That Jerry Seinfeld and his family were doing for charity. What's up with that? Jerry Seinfeld and his 12-year-old son, Julian, set up a lemonade stand in their Hamptons neighborhood. In the Hamptons, they're shutting down a lemonade stand. Oh, how much do you think a lemonade goes for in the Hamptons? $200? $50? A few of Julian's friends were helping out, and the proceeds were going to a children's charity. But a neighbor called the police on them, complaining about all the people it attracted. The cops came by and shut it down. Who the fuck calls the cops on a comedian's son? What the hell is he's not even an offensive comedian. What the hell is the matter with people, man? Kids can't have paper outs. They can't have lemonade stands for charity. This is great. We're in a solid plan. This is a great plan. We're moving forward. This is progress. Where lemonade stands are shut down, any opportunity where a kid could learn a little bit about owning their own business or operating it or giving to charity, we're too wrapped up in the pure bureaucratic bullshit. God, that pisses me off. It pisses me off that my kid can't get a paper out and have a job when he's young. And I wish we could go back to pioneer times and factory days and all that stuff. That's what I wish. Guy put a rattlesnake. This is great. This is why parents are important. Guy put a rattlesnake around his neck for a photo and might lose his hand. This dumb fuck in San Diego got bitten by a rattlesnake after he tried to take a selfie with it. Now, a guy near Los Angeles has somehow managed to do something even dumber when he saw... Wait, what? I'm sorry. My printer got jacked up and I can't read it. But we talked about this on the handle station, and this guy was trying to take a selfie, and he wrapped it around his neck, and then it bit him in the hand. What I love about this story is that his mom came out and said, he's an idiot. Thank you. That's what you should have been doing his entire life. I can't imagine that a woman says that who calls her kid a son as an adult, an idiot, that she would have been doing it the whole time. Because I feel like if you get called an idiot from the time you're younger, you have less likely a chance. My grandfather asked me about this, because the guys on the other side of my family, you know what I mean? Like my mom's side of the family, they're kind of struggling. They're not so, like one of my cousins did this stupid thing where he went out drinking on a Tuesday and then got busted for a DUI. Had to call his mom and say, hey, can you go pick up the kids? He had a 12 and 9-year-old, I want to say, and they were home by themselves and he got arrested because he was at the bar. You know, that kind of winning bullshit. And my grandfather was like, how come you're so different from them? And I go, you know what? I think it's because my father was constantly telling me I'm dumb. And you hear that enough, and you finally go, you know what? Fuck you, old man. I'll show you. And then the next thing you know, you got a nice life. And I was half kidding, but I mean, obviously, I'm not saying, yeah, let's everybody just call our kids stupid. But I think you should hold them accountable, man, right? I'm preaching to the choir. I don't need to say this to you. I love this. A burglar is scared off when a random woman crashes her car into the apartment he's robbing. Can you imagine? Oh, it's Olympia, Washington. She was at her disabled friend's apartment last week, helping her get ready for bed. But when she was driving away, she accidentally hit the gas pedal instead of the brake. So her car jumped the curb and plowed right into the building, smashed into an apartment on the first floor. But when the cops came to check it out, they found something much stranger than the car in the wall. The bedroom window in the apartment was open. The screen was in the bushes. The blinds were destroyed and the doors were unlocked. Apparently, there was a burglar in there at the time, and he got scared and ran off when the woman crashed. Can you imagine? What if this guy doesn't, you know, read the newspaper, and he just thinks, like, that was an act of God? You know what I mean? Like, he's just in there, and he just heard a big boom, and he fucking bolted and just goes, man, I can't ever break into houses again. I love these stupid criminal things. This is great. Fellas, check out this. My wife gets angry pretty easily, but I don't think she's ever been to this point. When a kid comes home with lice, it's natural to want to track down the person who gave it to them. I haven't had to deal with this. I'm sure a lot of you had, especially when your kid gets into like preschool or school, to, you know what I mean? The lice is an issue. But this lady went too far. 50-year-old Pamela Vannersdale of New Smyrna Beach, Florida. Oh, shocking. Florida was furious last week when her grandchildren came home with lice. And she knew who to blame. 22-year-old Dylan Lovelace, a homeless guy that was dating her daughter. Wait a minute. So it didn't happen at school? Hold on. How great is your life where you're 22-year-old? Okay, let's backtrack. How old's the kid? I got to find out how old the kid is. What are grandchildren? So grandchildren. So this, she has grandchildren. So we're going to say in the 8-year-old range. Has lice. Okay? And it comes from, so that's bad enough. That's you're already pretty low. But when you, it didn't come from school. It came from the 22-year-old daughter's homeless guy boyfriend. That's how you know you're doing something right. When the homeless, your daughter's dating a homeless guy. How low is her self-esteem that she's dating a guy who does not have a house? Like, let alone, clearly not a job, but even, you know what I mean? Doesn't even have a place to call home. Anybody can get laid. I used to think that it was hard, and I don't know. So what'd she do? She calls a hitman to kill him. That hitman happened to be her daughter's ex-husband. Yes! Ex-husband. And the father of the kids. Now, is he a hitman because, like, you know what I mean? Like, are you a hitman because you're performing a hit? Or is he, you know, like, because here's the thing. People like to say when they start doing stand-up, they go, I'm a comedian because they've done an open mic. Or they like to say, I'm a comic. That sounds cooler to them. But you're not a real comedian, in my opinion, until you're paying taxes. And so, so does he pay taxes on being a hitman? And is that a lateral move or an upgrade? When you get divorced, you divorce the hitman with a job at a house and you start dating a homeless guy? I don't know. I don't know if you guys are talking to each other, but somebody said LLCs. I like the idea of a hitman being incorporated. She told Daniel she could give him a gun and suggested dumping Dylan's body in South Carolina, but Daniel told the cops and Pamela was just arrested for criminal solicitation to commit murder. Oh, she's special. All right. I'm going to save this last one because this is probably going to be a quickie unintentionally. I still got to do moment of the week. Do I say? All right. Paco's listening, I think, actually. So I'll do it anyway because he'll still get a kick out of it. I like these word stories. This is it. This is, I don't think, is true. I don't buy it one bit, but I have not taken the fruit of this tree, for lack of a better way of putting it. But evidently, buckle up, ladies. This is the episode that you may or may not want your man to listen to. Fellas that are into this kind of thing, this may be the episode that you want to play for your lovely wife. And because it's not like it was set up to be the whole topic, and it's kind of at the end. So it's like, oh, that's weird. The best way to please your woman is with the filthiest kind of sex. Here's genuine proof that the only way to really enjoy sex is to get deviant with it. ESPN statistic website 538.com just crunched some numbers from a sex study and found a truly fascinating result. The only type of sex that's almost guaranteed to get a woman to finish is the filthiest kind. The study found that only about 2/3 of women reach their climax during traditional sex, but about 80% get there when you go downtown, and 94% do when you involve what they call the no-go hole or the bunghole. Interestingly enough, it's better for the catcher than the pitcher. Really? Only 89% of men say they finish when they're the one performing. Ugh. See, listen, I'm all for don't knock it till you try it. I'll be honest with you. But that is not something that I am interested in. But, I'll mention it to my wife. Maybe, but I feel like that was something that a guy is trying to, I mean, it's ESPN. You know what I mean? I kind of, I don't know. I just feel like they, if they were trying to do it to where they wanted to find a credible source, then they should have found something more credible. Like, I don't know, something health, women's health. You know what I mean? Like, that's where they should have done the study and published it. But these are words. Paco loves words. So here they come. The new words added to the Oxford English Dictionary. Right in par with that previous story. Butthurt being added to the Oxford Dictionary. Brain fart, butt dial, and mic drop. Awesome sauce, which means extremely good or excellent. Beer o'clock, an appropriate time of day for starting to drink beer. And I think that is all of them. Fat shame, to cause someone to judge... To cause someone judged to be fat or overweight to feel humiliated by making mocking or critical or by making mocking or critical comments about their size. Hangry, bad tempered or irritable as a result of hunger. MacGyver, make or why is that just now getting in here? That show's been off the air for like 20 years. Make or repair an object in an improvised or inventive way, making use of whatever items are at hand. Manic pixie dream girl. What the fuck is that? Manic pixie dream girl, especially, this is where I feel like an old man if everybody else listening to this is getting this. Especially in film, a type of female character that depicted as vivacious and appealing, quirky, whose main purpose is to inspire a greater appreciation for life in a male protagonist. So I think it's a ditz, right? Is that, am I reading that right? Mic drop, we all get. Instead of deliberately dropping or tossing aside one's microphone at the end of a performance. I like that. Like, we all just have microphones that we keep on hand. Like, you got your keys, your wallet, your microphone for when you ever have a mic drop moment. Weak sauce, I'm assuming the opposite of awesome sauce, something that is poor or disappointing standard or quality. There you go. Eight celebrities. Do I want to do this? No, I don't want to do it. All right. Let's do moment of the week, bitches.
You made them. You love them. And sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally, they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the Week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
You know, before Moment of the Week, because this actually came up in a conversation that I had with the guy who works overnights at the station. I'm going back to the Oxford thing and beer o'clock, because this was another story that they were talking about and like the news thing at work. It's interesting as to when is a pro. They were what their angle was is that when is an appropriate time to drink? Because I know that a lot of you play like drinking games during this show, which I usually record at about 12 in the afternoon Pacific time. And listen, you drink whenever you want to drink, but that's my thought on this. It's like there are times when it's not okay to drink, and who really the fuck cares? Like, obviously at work, I guess, but don't you kind of think it's weird that you can't have a beer at lunch when you're going to be at work? Like, am I crazy? I mean, now granted, up until now, my job has involved like having a drink like on stage if I wanted it, but it was never, that never really appealed to me. So I never really did it. Occasionally I'd do it. If I felt like the crowd was going to be awful, like I would have a beer or something or a cocktail when I went up on there or before I went up there. But I don't know. Like I just, why are we all hung up? Like, why isn't it just that it's an adult thing to do? Why is the time that matters? I feel like if you fucking want to have a drink and you can have a drink, then have a drink. I don't think we should go back to madman days, but I hate this thing where we all overreact and we do the thing where it's like because one person can't handle it, nobody can handle it. And then, you know, one person can't handle their booze and has eight drinks instead of just one nice little cocktail just to enjoy it. And then they get too hammered and tell their boss that they, you know, to fuck themselves. And then now nobody can drink and we make this huge like blanket statement. So... I'm sorry. While I'm doing the show, Chris is telling me where he is on the way. Stop saying that shit, Justin. So, yeah, moment of the week. I had a lot of fun. So we had the. I told you the story about the. I told you the story about the pool, this and the skeleton and all that stuff. The. You'll notice. Oh my gosh. The. Oh Jesus! I don't know what the hell that was, but I wish it would stop. So. Sorry, God. I'm really sorry. the skeleton story where they slap the and all that stuff. We go inside. Well, that night, the kids, I missed this. And I haven't had a moment to be able to do this recently because I've been so busy doing the housework. A lot of the stuff around the house has kind of fallen to Natalie to do because she's around and doing it. And you know what? I got to stop before I get to this moment of the week because that reminded me of something else that was in my parenting world that I found very interesting. So I'll come back to moment of the week. Natalie makes all the lunches for the kids. And I think a lot of you can replace this or relate to this is that my son, I had a conversation with him where I told him, you need to stop eliminating things to eat and start coming up with solutions to your own problems. Now, this is something that I'm glad I'm bringing up while Paco's not in the room, because anytime I talk about anything food related, then I just feel like a total dipshit. Because it's like, how is it that that I could complain about anything food related when he's standing right here next to me? But my point is, the boy used to eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. What fucking kid doesn't eat a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? 8 of you are going, my fucking kid doesn't do that. The rest of you are like, what the fuck? Your kid doesn't eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, which is my point. Then it was like, well, you could. Then he would have a ham sandwich, but then it had to be a ham sandwich with mustard and cheese only, and then it had to be a ham sandwich with mustard and the meat only. Like, who the fuck doesn't like cheese on a sandwich? And then it was just ham and mustard, and then no mustard, and then the bread was too much. Then he started doing the thing where you make him the sandwich. You say, "Do you want a sandwich?" And he says, "Yes, I want a sandwich." But then when he eats the sandwich, he pulls the bread off of it and just eats the meat. And it's like, well, then why the fuck are you like? Like, it doesn't come out of the package like that. I'm burning calories to put that in between two slices of bread. So I came to pick him up from school the other day, and the yard duty came up to me and said he opened his lunch to be my son, to be all of our kids at this time. Said he opened his lunch and said, I can't eat any of this. I don't like it. Are you fucking kidding me? Now, here's what he had. He had peanut butter and crackers. So peanut butter with Ritz crackers. And he had, what was the other thing? So he had string cheese, a yogurt, homemade Chex Mix, which he loved. He had, and I think that was it. Yeah. Yogurt, yeah. And an applesauce. And I could, who, but he eats applesauce. But I can understand people not liking applesauce. That's weird. But anyway. So he's crying, and the yard duty is saying, so we, you know, he said he can't eat anything. Oh, and he had a bar, like a granola bar, and he wouldn't eat that either. So she goes, I just want to let you know. And I said, well, that's fine. I said, I don't know if I'm wrong. I said, but I'm not the kind of parent that is like, if he misses a meal 2 hours before he comes home, he's not going to waste away and die. So I was like, you know, she was like, oh, well, some parents really freak out about it, but yeah, I'm with you. I don't think it's that big a deal. I said, well, please tell me. I want to know, but, you know, don't. And so it's this whole thing where I said, well, now he's got, I told my wife, I said, he needs to make his lunch. He needs to get in there and do it so that he knows what work is put into it, right? If you put effort, it's that thing where you find online where they say, well, if the kid helps you, then they're more likely to eat it. It's like, yeah, because they fucking burn calories. But when they're the fucking Sultan of Brunei sitting on the couch playing PlayStation and then meals are presented for them, then they get to act like a fucking royal prince and go, huh. I spit in this, and then, you know what I mean? Like, they just shoo it away from you and just get all pompous and shit. So I said, make him eat his own lunch. And so now, then she goes, well, we'll do the thing. They have a PIN number that they put in, and it lets them eat lunch at school. And it just blows my mind that this kid is going and eat, like, he's eating all the cafeteria food. And which is great, but when I was a kid, like I said, it was great. Like, some of the cafeteria food, you're like, oh, that's awesome. But what's crazy to me is that we live in a world where the cafeteria food isn't even a viable option. Like, my wife was like, well, he can't have it every day. I was like, what do you mean he can't have it every day? She's like, well, it's not good for him. Am I crazy? That's what's happening? That you can't, the kid can't eat the school lunch? Like, the school, like, so what is it that the schools are doing? What are they nailing? Because so far, we've had to supply pencils and pens and paper, right? Kleenex, soap, baby wipes, hand sanitizer, all that shit's had to be provided. Now, then they started doing the thing where they're getting breakfast. You know what I mean? They're now the breakfast, and I thought that was why they were having old textbooks and couldn't afford pencils, because they're having to feed the kids or the parents who can't fucking feed their own kids breakfast. And which I'm like, okay, but now none of the food is good enough. Now, or is that because my wife thinks that we're rich whitey and we're, you know what I mean? So everything has to be organic. I don't think so. That's not my wife. She fucking loves junk food, but like, I don't know. I just couldn't wrap my mind around the idea that, oh, he can't eat anything. He can't eat anything at school. He can't do it every day. School lunch is unhealthy for him. Oh, God. What the fuck? All right. Let's do Moment of the Week. I'm not going to play the song again. I've wasted your time enough. Moment of the Week. So it was great because we had that moment with the skeleton and all that stuff, and we're sitting down hanging out. And when I'm, like I was saying, is that usually I'm the one who's got to cook dinner and do all this stuff, and or I got to do laundry or I'm cleaning the house. And now Natalie and I are definitely like, it's more 50-50. Like, all I do is take care of the yard, take care of the cars, take care of the finances, and she pretty much does all the laundry and cleans the house and everything. Cooks most of the meals. She's become an awesome fucking cook, which is kind of depressing for me. But at the same time, I'm like, this is great. I feel bad, I guess, because she's also working. But anyway, and while she was making dinner, me and the boys were wrestling around last night. And oh, my God, I missed that. I got to do that more. I used to do it all the time when they were even younger, and it got hard because Jack was still pretty small, so he would want to get in on it. But Jacob was big enough to where he's like, I want to really get rough up on this, and you know. And then of course somebody would always get hurt. But now they're both big enough that I can kind of take them both and just tickle them. And it's just that thing, man, that I know you all can relate to. It's that when you, as much as the lifestyle can really suck ass, I mean, really, really suck ass. There's some really, really low points. For the most part, when you get these little things, we call it Moment of the Week for a reason. It's because it really does kind of go, this is why I did this. Fucking wrestling around with my kid. I was wrestling around with them in the pool, too, before they became dickheads and hit each other with a skeleton and ruined it all. But wrestling around with him in the house, that's you can't find, right? You can't find a better father moment than wrestling around and tickling your kids. And if you haven't done that, because here's the thing. I think we all get in slumps, right? We get in ruts, and we get used to the routine. If you haven't done that a while, and maybe hearing this, hopefully it makes you kind of go, yeah, I'm going to go home, and I'm going to fucking wrestle the shit out of my kids, because it's good for them, man. Get in there and just fucking throw down with them. And I especially like it if your kid's 22. I don't know why, but that thought just popped in my head. When he has like a 22-year-old kid, just start fucking wrestling to the ground. He's probably going to whip your ass. That's just a fact. I can't imagine. I like to think, because even now, like, I was thinking about that if my dad decided to fuck with me and tickle me, I think subconsciously he has enough to threaten me that I'm like, I couldn't take him. You know what I mean? Like, he could wrestle me to the ground and tickle me, and I would be like, there's nothing I could do. If he wanted to, like, take my kid's side in a game that I'm wrestling with him or something, and he could just fuck me up. I hope my kids have that for their entire lives, too. I like the idea of just literally me being on my deathbed and them going, maybe I could take him now. All right, that was the show. Send us an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Feel free to send me an email if you hate this stuff, if you're like, hey, stop fucking babbling. I mean, if you're frustrated with the quality of the show as of late, I'm a little frustrated, to be honest, and I'm working on it, and I'm going to get it better, but I got to put a so you understand, it's not that I don't appreciate or love doing the show or love each and every one of you that download this or listen to it or anything like that, but they, I want you guys to know that I will figure this out, but I have to put a little bit of priority towards this other job just so I could secure it and I can and get it. And once I know, and then I'll have a schedule that'll be consistent, and then I'll figure out a timeline, and all that stuff will happen. So I again thank you guys very much for listening. Send an email to show@thedadpodcast.com. Give us a like at facebook.com/dadpodcast. Still haven't hit 1,000 likes. I would really like to hit 1,000 likes on that. But definitely a lot of people sending me some very kind emails about the community that I don't think I could take credit for. I think that's all you guys. I mean, all I did was show up, about 5 years ago and start talking shit. But if you ever find yourself not really having a group of friends, as weird as it may seem, but if, cause I'm kind of that way, I think is that, I mean, Paco's a friend of mine and stuff, but it's different because his kids are older. I don't have anybody who's like, kids are kind of my age. And if you're like-minded too, if it's important because I used to feel that way. I kind of felt like I was the only one who kind of thinks the way I think, and I don't worry about it now, but I used to. And if that's you, you should check out Staying Frosty with the Dad Podcast. It's like it's another Facebook group that lots of listeners get together and talk, and they're very nice people. I'm sure would gladly welcome you into their community with open arms. People are sending very nice messages to me saying thank you and giving me credit where I believe it is undue. I will gladly take it and pretend that it is all because of me, but in all honesty, it has everything to do with the fantastic listeners of this podcast and very little to do with me, in my opinion. But definitely check out, again, Staying Frosty with the Dad Podcast fan page. You could do the same thing by talking to other people. Dip your toe at facebook.com/dadpodcast. You can listen live at mixlr.com/dadpodcast. We just broke over 100 listeners, and now they have a system, and once I figure out a system, they have a system where I can schedule episodes, and I believe, tell me if I'm wrong on this, for anybody that listens live all the time, but you should be getting an email alert a little bit before. So rather than what it was before, is I would log on, and when I went live, it would send out an email, and then you'd get an email. But depending on when you check your email, so you might be like 15 minutes behind. Now it lets me schedule shows, and then it should give you a heads up well in advance. Check out Justin is Married, Booker is Single. There's episodes up there. Play.it is a really big fan of, I guess, I talked about boobs. There, it was bras. And evidently, we did not make them boring on that episode, because Play.it has been spreading that around on social media like crazy. One of the most recent episodes of Justin is Married, Booker is Single. I just found out Chris and I are not going to be able to do an episode now, because evidently it would have taken him 48 minutes to get to my house, which usually takes about 15. So there must be some kind of accident or whatever. So there will not be new episodes there. And if you're listening live right now, don't wait around, because I am done as of right now. Tell three people about this show. Help us be number one. I want to kick the shit out of For Crying Out Loud. Not because I don't like those ladies, but I just think it would be funny. And definitely go to thedadpodcast.com. Scroll all the way down to our Amazon banner. Bookmark that shit. Because then every time you go to Amazon and buy something, we get about a 5 to 10%, I'm guessing, give or take, depending on what the item is and how much it costs and stuff. We get a little taste. Doesn't cost you anything. They just say, hey, thanks for driving traffic to us. And it's a nice way that you could support the show without it actually costing you a dime. So on behalf of myself and Paco, who's not here, but he's having a good time and will be back, I believe, next Tuesday. So if you're like, where the fuck is Paco? Well, come back next Tuesday. He will be back here in studio with us, probably telling or maybe not telling. I don't know. If I know Paco, I'm going to bet that here's what I'm going to say. I'm trying to figure it out. My first instinct was that if anybody could find something wrong with spending a week in Hawaii, I think it's Paco. And I think it's what makes us kindred spirits. Because as much as it's beautiful, I think he can easily, I think you guys would, you could see this, right? He can easily find a way that it's not okay. Unless he's hearing this now or listen to it on the plane ride back, and then he's going to shift it on me. But I trust you to be honest, good man. For the love of the game. All right. So thank you guys very much for tuning in. It's Justin Worship saying hug your kids, hump your loved ones, and stay frosty, everybody.